I think the church, to a large degree, has done a disservice to prophecy. And when I talk about prophecy now, I'm talking about from the future, from this point forward, has done a disservice to prophecy by being overly sensational, by trying to be sensational. We started the church in 1985. There was a book that was released in 1988 called 88 Reasons for 88. How many of you guys remember that book? Just to see who's all here. All right, so 88. How are you guys doing? 88 Reasons for 88. And it was a guy that said Jesus was coming back in 88. It was during the time of the feasts in September, which are generally what people kind of grab onto today. Yeah, Harold Camping said in 2011, Jesus is coming back during the Feast of the Trumpets, when the first trumpet is blown. And you understand that because the Bible says that there is the trump of God and the dead in Christ rise first. And so we understand why the first three feasts have already been fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled them with his first coming. He will fulfill the second on his second coming. But it has nothing to do, that has to do with content. When you look at the rest of the feasts, and someday we'll do a Bible study, it's pretty profound how all of the old feasts really draw a picture of the return of Christ. They stayed in booths and in tabernacles, and as we are tabernacling on this earth, this isn't our home. We're just here in booths. You're living in a borrowed house that will one day be taken away from you because we're just passing through this earth. All of those things are so true. But so many people believe them, even though the Bible says no man knows the day or the hour, which amazingly means no man knows the day or the hour. We don't know when God will start up his time clock again. And what I mean by that is not what might be going on in the Middle East or in Europe or in the United States. I'm not talking about what God might not be putting in place today that may align what will suddenly happen, and we're going to go, that's what that was all about. I can see it clearly now. Hindsight is always 20/20. I'm not saying that God's not working in the midst of Israel today, but I'm saying when the Father stands up and says, it's time, and Jesus returns for his church, everything will happen so quickly. Things will come together at an unbelievable rate from then. As soon as he comes back for us, and in John 14, verses 1 and 2, Jesus said, I'm going away. And if I go away, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you will be also. When people ask me, how come I believe so strongly in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church? The reason that I believe in it so strongly is it is the only view out of all of them that Jesus could return at any moment. It could happen today, and things could be set into motion. If he comes back in the middle of the tribulation period, well, I'm going to be able to identify the beginning of the tribulation period. And if by chance I am wrong and we are here in the beginning of the tribulation period, I'll let you know. So we'll all know. But I don't think I'm wrong. Because at that point, we'll know, well, then it's pre-wrath. Then it's at this point that we're going to, you know, halfway through or before the great tribulation starts, because there's the tribulation and there's the great tribulation. The tribulation is bad and the great tribulation is worse. And we'll know. But I think that all of this sensationalism has done a disservice to the church, and many people in the church are not concerned about prophetic things anymore. People are kind of like, I'm a pan-tribulationist. It'll all pan out in the end. I'm not worried about pre, mid, post. I'm not worried about any of that stuff. It's just all going to pan out in the end. The only problem with that is, and I used to say that I am so pre-tribulation rapture. I'm such a pre-tribulation rapturist that I don't eat post-toasties. And that is really true because I will not let someone mock me or steal away from me the hope that Jesus Christ could come back for me at any moment. Any other view does that. Even though you believe in the rapture of you believe that we're just all going to we're all going to fly away. Are we going to leave our clothes behind? Are we going to be, what's going to happen? How exactly is it going to happen? My answer is yes, I believe that. I realize how bizarre it sounds. Paul said, speaking of the same event, "Behold, I tell you a mystery." It's mysterious. It's a mystery. We are not all going to sleep, and by sleep he means die. He says we're not all going to sleep, but some of us, this is the mystery, some of us are going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And this corruptible will put on incorruptible. This mortal will put on immortality. We will forever be with the Lord. What a day that will be. And I understand that mystery sounds outlandish. It sounds way far out there when life is just going along. We aren't running into a bunch of supernatural things daily. We at times see God in our lives. We see God answer a prayer. We see some kind of miraculous that takes place in our lives as God's doing something. And those are all great. But unless you're not like me, I mean, I don't see those things on a daily basis. I don't think that you do. Life just kind of goes on. But see, that's the very key, Jesus said. As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Men were marrying and giving in marriage. They were just going on with their lives. See, when we think, well, the end of the world's coming, and people think Jesus could come back at any moment. You know, Pastor Robert, you think Jesus could come back at any moment. We have a sense that things are going to be really apocalyptic. There's going to be helicopters and smoke and destruction and it's like watching the news, really. If you really want to talk about it, when we watch the news, tell me it doesn't look apocalyptic. And it has for many years. I watched a program last night on the flu epidemic in 1918. Anybody see that program? You guys not watching the same programs I'm watching? It was 50 million people died from the flu epidemic in 1918. That's conservative. By the way, they believe that number could be as many as 100 million people. It was during World War I, and they were sending troops over, and half of that troop ship would eventually die. They wouldn't die before they got there, but they got sick by the time they got there, and half of that troop ship would die because it was an influenza, and it was respiratory, and you caught it through the air, but it also had a super bacteria that went with it that gave it that 1-2 punch. And it all looked very apocalyptic to me. 1918, as I'm watching this program, seeing them carrying the dead bodies out, seeing them with the masks over their faces, it all looked very apocalyptic to me. One of the things that I think that we forget is that It's going to happen in a time when people say peace and safety. When the Iraqi war broke out, Desert Storm, which was, I'm not good with going back in those years, but I got to say it's late 80s, early 90s, right? Or 89? Right, I was right on the nose, late 80s, early 89. It was a Thursday night. Back then, we had church on Thursday night. We switched it over to Wednesday night because we wanted to watch the U of A Wildcats play on Thursday night. No, it's not true. It's not true. But we were accused of that. Can you hear people accusing us of that?
Well, they just changed it because they want to watch the Wildcats.
No, that's just a bonus. We changed it for other reasons, but that's just a bonus. It was Thursday night. Church was packed the day the war started. Because everybody was like, is this it? Everybody wanted to know, is this it? This is Babylon. This is Babylon, and we're going to war against Babylon. This is it, isn't it? This is the end. And I remember back then saying, I don't know. The Bible says it's peace and safety when it happens. The Bible says the whole world will be made rich off of mystery Babylon. Whatever the system is, mystery Babylon, some people say it's Wall Street. There's all kinds of things people say. I don't know what they are because we're see through a mirror, you know, dimly. We don't know what these things are. But there's some kind of a coalition. There's some kind of an organization. There's some kind of something that governments do. There's some kind of a country. There, yeah, others have said it's Dubai. Others have said it's New York in itself. But the whole world gets rich off of mystery Babylon. When the economy crashes, we start wringing our hands and going, Jesus could come back at any moment. Well, he could, because things could happen really quick. But you realize the economy could be doing the best it's ever done on the day Jesus comes back for us. And you realize that we could have peace around the world in a way that we've never had it before the day the whole thing starts. Now, I realize that that's not real sensational. And I realize that for the guys that give the prophecy updates every, you know, few months, that that's not going to get a lot of people, you know, listening and following them. So they're gonna talk about some other things. But the truth is, we don't know. Because like when the flood came, people were planning their marriages. And on the day Jesus returns, people are going to be planning their marriages. But also it says that violence will cover the earth like it was in the days of Noah. Violence certainly has covered the earth today. I don't know where we are exactly as it was in the days of Noah, but I got to think it's pretty close. And I got to think we're pretty close. Having said that, it may be 20 years, it may be 30 years, it may be 50 years, it may be 100 years, it may be 200 years. That's why the Bible says, occupy until he comes. That's why so much of the New Testament talks about us living together in peace, respecting authority, minding our own business. You know, there are several verses that say that. Mind your own business. Mind your own business. Did a teaching years ago called Mind Your Own Business. Mind your own business. What are you all up in other people's business for? Mind your own business. Because so much of the church's existence would be us just doing our job, which is shining for Christ, which is not getting caught up in gossips and maliciousness and drama, but just doing what we're supposed to do and letting people see Jesus in us. We may be of that last generation. We may be the mystery generation that Paul talked about. I think it'd be great if we were. Maybe I'm a little selfish in that because I'd like to never die. That'd be nice. To be changed in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye, right? People say, well, how would you like to die? Well, really? Not. People say, well, it's not the dying that bothers me, it's being there. But I don't know that you cannot not be there when you die. Right? So with all of that in mind and just kind of understanding, hey, look, the Bible talks about tells us about the future. The Bible tells us what's going to happen. The Bible tells us that there is going to be this war that is a coalition of Iran, of Persia, and of Russia, and of Turkey. Persia, Russia, and Turkey are aligned today. You find so many things like that when you begin to go in and look at Bible prophecy. Just because you find them doesn't mean it's going to happen next year. It could happen in 2018, and we are to stay ready, right? We're to be ready because we don't know when he comes back, so we have to be ready. I like what Charles Swindoll talks about, working with a guy who swept up the shop And it was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They were getting ready to leave. And let me see if I can get the story right. And Charles Swindoll said to the guy, "You ready to go?" To kind of tease him a little bit. "You ready to go? It's almost three." And the guy said, "I'm already ready." And he goes, "Well, you don't look ready." And he unzipped his overall and he had his street clothes on under it. And he said, "Eyes, stay ready." And even it said to him, "Just as I stay ready for Jesus, just as eyes always ready for Jesus." We need to stay ready. Keep things right, because when it happens like this. It isn't this slow kind of, "Oh, I know it's happening, it's coming, we can see it all." It all of a sudden just happens. And you and I are going to be going, "Well, I thought there'd be more warning." That was the whole point. That's why Jesus said, "As lightning strikes from the east and goes to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be." Next thing you know, it's going to have happened. And you're going to go, "I wish I was ready." Some of you guys tonight got some getting ready to do. Some of you guys already ready. But some of you guys need to get ready. Because when it happens, it's just gonna happen. Part of the things that will happen is that mockers are gonna rise in the last day. And people like this guy, 88 Reasons for 88, which then wrote 89 Reasons for 89 when it didn't happen in 88. Harold Camping, who claimed it was gonna happen in 12 after 11 didn't happen. They don't ever want to give it up. It's just too sensational. It just gets too, there's too many people who listen. There's too many people who are ready to not get sound teaching, but are ready to hear whatever can be like, can tickle their ears. The Bible says, in the last days, which I believe we're living in, men will heap up for themselves teachers that'll tickle their ears. We just want people to tell us what we want them to tell us. Well, here in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, and I kind of just wanted to cover some of this. It says, "And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people." If you've studied the book of Daniel, you know that Nebuchadnezzar has a dream early on in the book. And you know that Daniel sees a vision later on in the book of beasts. And this statue that Nebuchadnezzar sees has toes of iron and clay, has shins of silver, thighs of brass, and it kind of goes up to gold, to the head of gold. And we're told what the dream is, because he tells us. The head of gold is Nebuchadnezzar. The iron is the Roman Empire. Now, when Daniel wrote this, the Roman Empire wasn't in existence yet. The 10 toes of iron and clay is some coalition, sometime in the future from us, which may be coming together now, or maybe we're not seeing any of it anywhere. Remember everybody saying it was the EU, you know, the 10 nations? Then there was 11 of them, then 12 of them, then 13 of them. Then I remember remembering, three heads get knocked off by one horn. Remember, guys, remember that prophecy? So maybe now there's 13 and three get knocked off by one, but that would mean nine. So I don't know, you know, trying to get it all figured out, who knows? But someday there will be a coalition. There will be a one world government. There will be one currency. There will be a mark on the back of your hand or on your forehead, or you cannot buy and sell. There will be a charismatic political leader who will have at his side a charismatic religious leader. The Antichrist and the false prophet, they will get their strength from the dragon, from the devil himself. These things will take place. What they look like, I don't think we know. And I think that these guys get caught up in this sensationalizing, trying to say this is what this is and this is happening and this is what that is, and they get caught up in it. Well, Daniel's gone through all of that now and is at the very end. And Michael seems to be the prince of the people of Israel. Nations have their own angels. And Michael is Israel's angel, which I think is just awesome when we think of the nation of Israel today. We know that a lot of people would love to see Israel not be a nation. We know that churches have denied the existence of Israel. They have denied that God would even stand for Israel. There are Reconstructionists who believe that the church has replaced Israel. Once there's a Google review, you can't remove it. We as a church can't go remove a Google review. One of our very first Google reviews, when Google came, was kind of going and people were starting to put on reviews. And one of our very first Google reviews said that, you know, went to this church and this pastor taught that Israel was replaced by the church, which is the exact opposite of what we teach. And I remember that being there forever. I finally went around asking everybody, will you write a review? Would you write a review? Write a Google review. Write a Google review so we could bury it. Finally, it's like it's buried. I haven't seen it in forever. But God said in the Old Testament to the nation of Israel, I will never forget you, my people. I have carved you on the palms of my hand. Though a mother may forget the child in her womb, I will never forget you. God said to Abraham, look to the north, the south, the east, and the west. For all the land that I have given to you and your descendants forever as an inheritance. So God's given it to the nation of Israel. I'm not saying Israel's doing God's bidding right now. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that Israel does everything right any more than I believe that the United States does anything right. Doesn't shock you guys, does it? I shouldn't say anything. Any more than I think the United States does everything right. I'll go that route. Certainly they do some things right, right? But there are plenty of things the United States do that I think are wrong and I disagree with. You too. Some of you guys look at me like, oh. You too. Same thing with Israel. Israel doesn't do everything right. There are plenty of things they do that are wrong. There are things that I think that they have done wrong in the Palestinian conflict. I think the Palestinians have done a lot more wrong. I mean, that's just where I am. But when it comes down to God giving them the land, God gave it to Abraham. And there's an angel that stands over that's going to make this happen. And the Bible says that God's going to bring them back in the land, that they would be born again in a day, and they were in 1948, that the land would be desolate, and it was for 400 years, that God would restore fruitfulness to the land of Israel, and they did, and he did. All of this foretold in Ezekiel 34, 35, 36, 37. All of it happening, some of it even in our day, as Israel became a nation again. So many people, can you imagine? Can you just imagine what it must have been like to be alive in 1947? Coming through World War II, where so many Jewish people suffered from the Holocaust, even rejected by the United States, even boats full of Jewish people running from the Nazis, showing up at the shore of the United States and being turned away. Those boats being taken back and put in concentration camps. So the Bible says the whole world will one day be against Israel. Boy, didn't it seem like the whole world was against Israel in that day? And then all of a sudden Israel becomes a nation again? Talk about being sensational. I wasn't alive in 1948, but if I was alive in 1948, I'd have been like, Jesus is coming back today. I'd have been one of those guys wearing the sandwich signs outside on the streets. Telling people, man, look at it. But that goes to show you that there can be a lot of things that line up with Scripture. Israel becoming a nation in a day, like it said. Israel suffering bones, literally bones that rattle and come back together again and make a nation. It is a good lesson for us to go, you know, you can't hurry God up. And you just kind of need to be in line with what God wants you to be doing. Knowing that these things will come to pass. And we may very well see them. I hope we do. So he says, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. So Michael, the archangel, stands up. And this is the great prince that stands watch over the nation of Israel. Sometimes we feel bad for Israel. Hey, Israel is not going to be... Israel will be persecuted by the Antichrist. And will be driven from the land of Israel. But once they will be brought back into that land, they will not be driven out again. And they have a great prince that stands over this nation. No wonder it can be so incredibly tiny, just 50 miles wide if you include the contested West Bank. If you take away the contested West Bank, there's a section in Israel that's only 14 miles wide. Can you imagine? What are we from this spot right here to Mexico? 50 miles, probably? Can you imagine? 14 miles wide and 200 miles long. Surrounded by countries that have tried to destroy them and hate them. From Jordan to Egypt, which is now is at peace with them. Has a peace treaty with them, and Israel and Egypt are getting along well now. But that hasn't always been the case. They tried to destroy them and kill them at one point. Syria, which of course has all of its problems now. But all of these nations, Russia, that has endeavored to try to destroy Israel through these other nations through all of these years. Yeah, Iran today, which still says they want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. They won't be able to. Because Israel has a great prince that stands over them, Michael. Kind of wonder, Lord, who's our angel? The United States. It says, and there will be a time of trouble such as never where it was since there was a nation. This speaks of the up-and-coming tribulation period. As I said, this tribulation period doesn't start until we in the church are taken away because we are not appointed to God's wrath. And as bizarre as it sounds that we'll be taken up in the rapture, all of this is bizarre. There's none of it that's not bizarre. Think of it, the world's going to end one day. And when the world ends, it will end. If it wasn't through this, it would be a catastrophe. It would be through a bizarre motion of, you know, a meteor hitting the earth or of a close flyby that knocks us out of orbit or something. There would be a bizarre thing that would happen. Jesus said, there's a time coming that is worse than anything this world has ever seen. He quoted this. So we know it wasn't Antiochus Epiphanes, as some try to claim. We also know that it wasn't Nero, as the preterists try to claim. That it was Nero and it was the worst time the world has ever seen, because it's not the worst time the world has ever seen in any stretch of the imagination. There's a time coming, and the world's crying peace and safety when it happens. The whole world is getting wealthy off of Mystery Babylon. All these things may be developing right now. We may, back in 2008, the last financial crash that we went through, again, many people talked about Jesus coming back again. It became a big thing to do prophecy updates and talking about it. And I would tell people, I don't know that we're doing well enough yet. I don't know that there's enough talk about peace right now. It just seems like things got to be doing well. We seem to be doing a little better now. It might mean we're a little bit closer. Might mean we're a lot closer. So this time is going to come. And then he says, even that time, at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall be awoke. I believe that is a reference to the rapture. Realize there are many pastors and prophecy experts who say it's not, but I believe it is. Just as I believe that Isaiah 26, it talks about those who are asleep in the dust of the earth will be awakened. And it says some to everlasting life and some to everlasting, some to shame and everlasting contempt. You say, well, if that's the rapture, then how are some going to everlasting life and some to everlasting contempt? Because all of this happens so fast that when you're reading it, it goes from one line to another. But when you're living it, it goes from 7 years later, 7 years then 7 years later. But from the perspective where we are standing back, you stand this far back from something and you see something happening thousands of years down the road in a 7 year period, and it looks like it's happening right on top of each other. You get right up next to it, and there's a 7 year gap. And so people go, well, it can't be, you know, this can't be the rapture because, well, the writer is just giving us this picture of what's happening in what is a moment of time. That 7 years will be so quick compared to the thousands of years that have come from the time of Daniel. Some 500 years before the time of Christ, some 2,500 years ago from right now. But eventually there will be a resurrection of everybody. Everyone who's died, everyone who's alive will be changed. And eventually everyone will stand before God. And that's really what this is all about. It's not about the small details that people argue about. It's about the fact that we will all stand in front of Him one day. And I'm so glad that when I stand in front of Him, that I'm going to be able to say, Jesus is my advocate. My sins are forgiven. The sins of my children, my wife, my late wife, all taken care of. So we will be able to enter in to the joy of the Lord. It says, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting contempt. This is heaven and hell. This is the two places where the souls of men go. It says, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. Are you wise? Wisdom isn't always smarts, right? You can have a dumb wise person. I don't know how many there are, but you can have them. Are you wise? Are you wise enough to say, you know what? I'm gonna live for Jesus. Shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Well, that's our job as the church, that we would turn many to righteousness. He says, but you, Daniel, shut the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many will run to and fro and knowledge will increase. He says, this isn't the end yet, Daniel. Just shut the book and don't worry about it. It's going to be sealed till the time of the end, which I think the reason that the fact that we understand the book of Daniel tells us that we are living in the last days. Again, the last days doesn't mean Jesus is coming back tomorrow. Could be 100 years from now, but we are living in the last days. And he says, men are going to run to and fro on the earth and knowledge is going to increase. Well, that's happening. People are on planes traveling around the world. It wasn't happening 100 years ago. Knowledge has increased incredible rates. In fact, that may tie in to why Russia wants so badly to go to Israel, because a lot of technology that you and I have today comes out of Israel. Israel is one of the only nations now that can take water from seawater and air and makes their water out of seawater and air. Their technology is absolutely phenomenal. People say that it's oil or natural gas that brings down Russia to Israel. I don't know. I think Russia's got a lot of oil. It's got a lot of natural gas. I think that kind of makes, you know, you could say it makes sense. Maybe it will be the case. I'm not saying it ain't. I'm just saying I'm not convinced. When the Bible says God puts a hook in the leader of Russia and brings him down against Israel, puts a hook in his nose, brings him down against them, I don't know exactly what it's going to be, but he's going to want something they've got. He's going to say, something they've got, I want. Well, knowledge is going to increase, and certainly has, and it's increased in Israel in unbelievable rates. He says, then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others on this riverbank and the other riverbank. And one said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it shall be for a time, times and a half a time. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all of these things shall be finished. The great tribulation, 3.5 years, when the power of the holy people, the people of Israel, is finally broken, it will be done. Although I heard, I did not understand. Welcome to the club, Daniel. The people who claim they understand don't understand. I've listened to them. And I've got it all figured out. I got it straightened out. I can tell you exactly what's going on. Then they start talking. You're like, you don't got nothing figured out. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said to me, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. So that's why I think that we have, people say, you know, the church history didn't look at Daniel the way we look at Daniel. It's because I believe it was sealed up. We're living in the time of the end now. The Bible says in the last days, God will bring Israel back into the land. We're living in the last days. And so I believe we understand the book of Daniel now, where church history didn't. How could they? Look, how could they? Israel wasn't a nation. Israel was scattered throughout peoples all around the earth. You and I look at it from a very unique perspective, because now Israel's a nation again. And we see God promising to work and fight for Israel. And if you lived in 1750, you got to go, that's an analogy, right? If you're looking at the world and going, what do these things mean that God's going to fight for the nation of Israel? Well, it must be the church. The church must be Israel. We might indeed be replacement theologists. Because if you're trying to look at the world around you to picture, you know, what the Bible's saying, well, that's the mistake. The mistake is that we ought to just read what the Bible says and let God go ahead and make things the way that they are, instead of trying to look at the world, what the world looks like. But you can understand why they would have thought it can't really be the nation of Israel, because Israel's not a nation. It wasn't a nation until 1948. And then all of a sudden we start going, oh, I see, as the picture starts to come together. And so he says, go your way, Daniel. Verse 9, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. I love that. None of the wicked are going to understand. People in the world understand. Doesn't even say that Christians are going to understand, but it says the wise will understand. So a lot of people are like, I don't care about prophecy. I'm in the church, I don't care about it. I don't want to talk about it ever. I don't care about it. Fine. I do. And it says the wise will understand, and I want to be wise. He says, and from that time that the daily sacrifice is taken away from the abomination of desolation to set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days, which, again, I don't know that anybody knows what all that's about. But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. Well, whether or not we are alive during the days when Jesus returns and all of these things are unfolded before our eyes, they are definitely, the stage is definitely set. It doesn't matter. Because we're going to do the same thing we're supposed to do anyway. That's what we're supposed to. And that is live for Jesus. Live our lives in such a way that people around us can see Christ in us, the hope of glory. I want to read you one more passage quickly. I'm out of time. But 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come in a thief, like a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with a great fervent heat. Once again, we see that once it starts to happen, it happens quickly. But I wanted to point out that verse so that you would know God desires that all would be saved and all would come to the knowledge of the truth. That's really what our 2018 should be about. So that our friends and our family, our coworkers, our acquaintances can see Christ in us. We may feel inadequate with that, but you have the power of the Holy Spirit that you've been given. That you could live your life and say, you know, Lord, if this stage kind of fits together, if the jigsaw puzzle all finally comes together and we see it all and go, that's it, it's happening. It'll happen fast and we'll be there when it does and it will be awesome. But if that happens 10 years from now, between now and then we occupy and we share Christ with the people around us. If it happens 20 years from now, same thing. 50 years from now, same thing. 100 years from now, we'll let the next generation do it. Right? And we'll go to the grave. Serve God faithfully till the day that we're buried. But none of that changes the truth that all of these things are getting ready to take place. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for how your word speaks to us on these prophecies. And help us to not get caught up in that over-sensationalizing of these events. They are incredible on their own. And Lord, we don't know the day you're going to come back, but we know that when it starts, it's just going to all happen. It's going to be quick. It's going to happen quickly. And we pray, Lord, that we would love you, love your word, and be used by you to touch the lives of people all around us. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.